only were we dead in Christ, but we were raised up and we were resurrected to walk in newness of life in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but that we were also seated, the Scripture says, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now get the picture, because when by faith, excuse me if my voice won't hold up here, when by faith we put our trust in Jesus Christ for the death of our sins, or for the forgiveness of our sins, God associated you with Christ in such a way that you are described as having died with Him. If you died with Him, then the Scripture says in Romans chapter 6 that you were also raised up to walk in newness of life with Him. But the Scripture also says there in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were seated, that we have been seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Colossians also says, put your mind on those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We are known as believers, we're addition, thank you. That just reminded me to push the recorder here too, so I needed to take that break, I guess. But in Christ Jesus, our position is that we're so associated with Him that our life has been hidden in Christ Jesus. So in such a way that God and God's Word declares that you are now presently seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's what God's Word declares forensically or legally, in a sense, to be true of your life. And so we call this being justified by faith. It means that the penalty of our sin is dead, is done away with in Christ Jesus. He died on our behalf. So our position in God, in Christ Jesus, is having died with Him and being a new person. And so when it talks about as Christ was raised up, so you also are to walk in newness of life, that's what the Apostle Paul is describing in Ephesians chapter 4 here. So in our position, we see ourselves as having been put to death in Christ Jesus. And walk, the Christian life and walk by faith is by faith laying hold of that truth which God has declared spiritually to be true of our lives and applying it by faith. If we do that, then the practice of living the Christian life moves away from our intentions or our attempts to physically in the flesh try to maintain or live the spiritual and supernatural Christian life, but by faith embracing the principle of our position in Christ, God works through you. He works in and through your life to accomplish His purposes. That's why we say, and I often quote so many passages of Scripture that have to do with the prayers of the Apostle Paul, because these are the things that he asked for, that we might, he acknowledges laboring, striving according to God's power which mightily works within us. It's God's power that accomplishes God's work. We can't live the supernatural Christian life in the energy and the power of the flesh, though we often try, don't we? We try, we make these attempts, and it's sad that it's a sad attempt because we can't accomplish salvation by the flesh, by the energy, by the power of man. It's accomplished by faith in what God has declared to be true and laying hold of those things and going forward by faith in what God has said. So when we died in Christ Jesus, the old man is put down. By faith, when we engage and we embrace that by faith, it enables us to live in a completely different dimension as the new man. And so we put off the old man, the Scripture says, and lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and we are being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, that's the progressive, what we call the condition. Our position is that we're already seated in Christ. Our present condition is that God, through Christ Jesus, is renewing us in this process. The Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God, applying it to our heart and life, and by faith, as we embrace those principles and the reality of what God has said, not what we feel or what we experience or what tradition says or any of those other things, but what the Word of God and the promises of God declare, we begin to embark upon this new manner of life, and we're being renewed. Notice that it applies to the mind. Our minds are being renewed. The spirit of our mind is being renewed. And same thing in Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Taking in the Word of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It's the Word of God. It's the promises of God. It's our position in Jesus Christ that affects our condition. And so we're being renewed daily. And so the next verse was, then you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, that being created in righteousness and holiness in the truth. This is a key verse for us. We are by faith. I'm challenging you this morning by faith, according to the Word of God, according to God's principle and truth, to put on the new person. Put on Jesus Christ. And there's a sense, now this is not putting on like putting on a show or an act like a drama, but this is by faith taking Christ's life. His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, has been given. When He ascended to be with the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. Another comforter, one who would come that had been with the disciples, now is in the disciples. Now is in His people. And as His people, that Holy Spirit is renewing our minds and putting on this new person. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God has made life new for you. He's made it new for us that we might know the fullness of this new manner of life that we're going to walk. And so let's look at our verses now. And go back to the passage that we want to look at today, because it begins with therefore, and that therefore is so connected with what we taught last week that we needed to go back to it and look at what it means to put on the new man, what it means to daily, progressively be renewed. We talked about that in detail last week. You can get it on the internet if you want to look at it if you missed it. But don't miss the principles that are there. Don't miss that truth for your life. It is essential for walking the Christian life. And it's the difference between knowing by grace our position and being filled with the Spirit and power of God, supernaturally walking in light of the truth principles of that faith in what God has declared to be true in our lives as compared to trying to work out the Christian life by the energy and strength of our flesh. And it's a world of difference. It will make a lot of difference in this new manner of life and how we're able to live it by the grace of God through faith. So not only did we receive Christ Jesus by grace through faith, but we walk in Him by grace through faith. Therefore, because the old man has been put off, because our minds are being renewed, because we put on the new man, therefore, laying aside, therefore, because we are not to walk any longer as the Gentiles walk, lay aside falsehood, speak truth. Now, it's taken the whole book to get here. Okay? The Apostle Paul started and spent almost five chapters before there was one command given. And here we're looking at a bunch of imperatives. Paul is saying, do these things. Imperatives and commands in Scripture are important for us as God's people. Okay, so we want to, you know, he's saying, well, get to the practical stuff. Well, this is it. This is the practical stuff. This is the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus and how it should overflow in our lives or out from our lives and into our world. Walk not as the Gentiles walk. And this is what the Apostle Paul gets down to, and he says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, we're going to have five commands here. I put them there in your notes in the scripture. And as we look at those five commands, we're going to see that there's three parts to it. And generally speaking, it begins with a negative, and here we have the negative, and it says that we are to lay aside falsehood. That's a negative command, and it's an imperative participle, so Paul needs for us to not lie to one another. That's what it's talking about. But it's more than just lying. It's the portrayal of falsehood, period. Okay? Because I believe that the Apostle Paul may very well be speaking from some of the teaching from our Lord, from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, in fact. But he says, we are to put aside or lay aside falsehood and speak the truth. So speak the truth is the positive command that is given. So don't lie, speak the truth. Okay? And we'll find this format in each one of these five admonitions from the Apostle Paul. We'll also find the results or the reason for why we should do these commands. Okay, so that's why he says, because we're members one of another. That's the breakdown of the verse and will be the breakdown of each one of these. Now, the exception will be the second one, and it starts with a positive and goes to the negative. And that's the only reversal in this kind of procedure that the Apostle Paul begins as he goes through the commands. But let's look and consider the new manner of life. It's according to God in righteousness and holiness that is based upon the truth. And he goes back to truth here. So as opposed to verse 22, the former manner of life, we're looking at the new manner of life and what is involved in this new manner of life. And first of all, there is the problem of lying. Okay, you say, well, that's a pretty universal problem, isn't it? Yeah, is it a problem here at Grace Bible Church? Well, yeah. And that's the idea of the passage. Present active imperative or command statement is basically a statement that is meaning to cease doing this. The participle describes an action that we need to cease doing. So he's speaking to the Ephesians, and I would venture to guess that just overall in every local church today that we still have the same problems where we're not really truthful with everyone in our church body as we should be. And so the Apostle Paul admonishes that we are to speak the truth. Don't lie, speak the truth. Now here's the idea here, and that is that we are to rest in God's freedom. To rest in truth is to rest in freedom, isn't it? In fact, if we were to go, and you can turn back to John chapter 8 if you'd like, and actually hold a spot there, but Jesus is contending with the scribes and the Pharisees. And in that contention that he's having, he basically makes the statement that, I'm the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of his life. And they say, well, your witness is not true. And Jesus said, even if I bear witness of myself, and this is verse 14 in John chapter 8, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. What's Jesus speaking about? He's God in the flesh, there in their presence. And they don't know who he is. And he's saying, I'm the light of the world. And they're saying, you're bearing witness for yourself. And Jesus says in verse 15, you people judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone in it. But I and he who sent me. Okay, now remember that when we talked about truth last time, truth, if we were to define truth, it's basically the idea of reality. So Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the reality, and you don't know reality. You don't know truth. And even in verse 17, even in your law, it has been written that testimony of two men is true. I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Now, you know what they say here? The response is, look at that. That next verse, verse 19. And so they were saying to him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered. Now, why did they say that? Because of the situation with Joseph and Mary, right? Where is your Father? It was a dig into Christ. And Christ responded. He was undaunted here. He says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. You see what he's saying? If you knew who I was, I'm the light of the world. He's making his statement, and it's a true statement. And he goes on, and a number of things are said here, but he says, I do always the things which please him. And if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. And you, now notice in verse 32, and this is the verse that I want to get to. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, let it simmer there a second. And think about it just a moment. But directly related to truth is freedom, right? Isn't that true? Now, when you're lying to someone, are you free? You know, have you ever been caught up in a web of lies? And you just kind of, you started out because you got caught in a bind and you spun a little lie here. And the next thing you know, the person that you told that lie to talks to someone else. And it starts to get bigger, and it slowly kind of just encroaches. This big cloud starts coming over you, and you realize that you got all of these very serious things go on. And if so-and-so speaks to so-and-so, then they're going to discover that this is not so. And man, it gets really complicated. You know what I'm talking about? That's slavery. That's bondage. But Jesus is saying here, and it's multifaceted truth and principle in God's word, the truth shall make you free. Reality is freeing, isn't it? And so, but not just the negative aspect here of not telling people lies and getting caught up in that type of thing, but understand it is really needful for us to speak the truth, everyone with your neighbor. And there's a great positive aspect there. Now, let me just say this to you. It's sometimes, often, frequently, very hard to speak the truth, isn't it? And I want to tell you, especially to our young people, you're going to make decisions about how truthful you are with others. And whether, and not often so much with just whether you speak truthfully, but whether you speak out the truth to people. And Jesus is speaking out the truth to people in this context. And I think the Apostle Paul is saying, not only should we not lie to one another in falsehood, but we need to practice speaking the truth to each one, our neighbor. And notice, the reason I say that is because in the last part of this verse, it says, because we are members of one another. And you say, well, why did he say that? Because speaking the truth is important. And unless, and this is the message to the young folks and to old as well, it's for all of us, but unless you see and understand and embrace the value of speaking truth, then peer pressure and pleasing people is going to keep you from confronting them often with the truth. That's the bottom line. And there are certain things that are so important that it's very easy and so complicated that it's very easy to love your friendship and want to keep that friendship more than it is to speak the truth. And it's going to be a challenge for you. It's a challenge for everybody. And the realities are that there needs to be a decision in each one of our hearts this morning that I'm going to value and honor the truth and the freedom that goes with it, even if it costs me. Because I want to promise you one thing, it's going to cost you at times, isn't it? Sometimes when you have to tell someone the truth, they're not going to like it. I can remember being just out of college and being having a friend there. I didn't have that many either. I just started my new job there in Brownwood, Texas, and a junior high band director. And so I started the job, and I made a good friendship with a teacher, and he had been divorced, and he met another teacher there, and he started sleeping with the teacher. And so there I was with a friendship and a relatively new believer, and I said, look, you must do life God's way, and you're violating what God wants you to do, and it's going to cost you. But I had to make a decision. I had to decide about whether to keep my mouth shut or whether to speak the truth. And because he was a professed believer, we had started a relationship, had a friendship, and I cared about him. I wanted him to have a healthy relationship. And if I thought the truth, reality, was that important, then I had to speak with him, right? I had to speak the truth. And there are decisions that we're going to have to make as believers as to whether that friendship is more important than truth and the freedom that goes with it and what it may cost if we tell someone the truth. Because often you lose friends when you tell them the truth. And that's what Jesus did in this passage, right? Isn't that right? Now this is the same type of idea. I can remember being out in the oil field as I was contract pumping in those years, and the body. The scripture says here that we are to be members of one another. Okay, so and I was thinking about members of the body and relating this principle, and there was a good illustration that was given, but the eyes need to tell the feet what to do at times, right? And the feet need to be able to depend upon the eyes and react properly when the eyes tell them certain things. And demonstration of that was there was at a salt water disposal on one of our leases, and there's a big old tank out there where, if you know anything about the oil field, you separate the oil from the water by putting heat to it in a treater, and the salt water you send over to a tank, and either trucks come out and move it, or you pump it back into the ground. We had a pump that pumped it back into the ground, and a saltwater pump, and that thing was running. You have to check the oil, make sure that everything's okay on it. So I got out of the truck, and I was walking over, and I stepped up on the pump and over across to check the oil. And as I was stepping up on this pipe and starting to come down, my eyes told me that's a rattlesnake. And so my feet reacted. I went airborne. I broad jumped some distance. But it was important that that one member of the body communicated the danger to the other member of the body. You see what I'm saying? And so if we believe that truth is important, and if we believe the dangers and the warnings that Scripture often gives to us, then it's necessary for us as God's people to make that commitment to speak the truth, right? So here the new person in Jesus Christ is to speak the truth. Now don't become imbalanced. You know, we start, I realize I can preach this message and this truth, and some of you might try to go on crusades to clean up everybody's life and to tell everybody the truth and exercise a little balance there and some of the things that just common sense and learn what things are important and don't go around bludgeoning people with your words. That's not what this is saying by telling the truth. In fact, there's quite a bit of balance here as we go through this passage. But speak the truth in love to one another.